We continue. Any other solution to problems deriving from a shortage of sacred ministers can only lead to precarious, which means serious, consequences. While teaching the graduate school at the university in New York, all men and women beyond their early 20s into the 30s and 40s getting a graduate degree in theology. Among my students was one medical doctor and one financial expert working with, well, a firm in Wall Street, New York. They handle the money. Both in their late 30s. I then had classes Friday nights in New York and Saturday morning in Chicago. So I have to fly from class in New York to Chicago in time for class the next day. These two fellows would often drive me from the university to the airport. So I asked them both, have you ever thought of becoming priests? They almost had an accident because, what are you talking about? And neither one was married. The doctor, the medical doctor. I received calls from the nurses at the hospital. The nurses said, Father, we understand you know Dr. So-and-so. Would you please put in a good word? Tell doctor, I would like to marry him. So I told the doctor, a nurse called me up last night. She wants to marry him. Well, I preached at that doctor's first mass. He got him ordained. The other fellow, very wealthy, single. Same thing. He got him ordained. I'll never forget. And I preached at his first mass. And Evie had a big dinner, all 500 people, celebrating his ordination. And then this young priest just ordained, well, not so young anymore, maybe 42 years old. He got up and he told people, now I can say it. And the rector of the seminary was at the dinner. Now I can say it. During my seminary days, I kept my mouth shut. But some of the things I was taught in the seminary were not good Catholic doctrine. I looked to the rector of the seminary. I made sure the seminarian got his theology straight. Sisters, find and promote vocations to the priesthood. Okay? Now, sometimes I give people orders. Sisters, when do you finish your studies here? End of March? Well, I would say by early April of 1998. early April 1998. I want all of you, in our prayer, that you succeed to find at least one vocation to the priesthood. And you can blame me and have this person, if he wants to, write to me. In fact, even if he lives in India, here's my telephone number, my office number, 313-839-1871. Call me up, collect. I'm at the telephone, I will answer the phone. This is a collect call from India. But you accept the call. Who is it from? But he must say, Sister so-and-so told me to call you up. I will take the call. Sisters, I am not being funny. We need good priests. Now the closing paragraph. The duty of fostering vocations falls on the whole Christian community. And they, that is, the Christian community, to discharge his duty principally by living full Christian life to the age of 16. I was taught I lived only among women, and for 8 years in grammar school only women taught me. But I can tell you, and thank God, the women who taught me, the sisters, were holy women. And that's where vocations come from holy persons. By following Christ more closely and in overcoming indifference, all the faithful, sisters, this is strong language, all the faithful have a responsibility to foster a positive response to a priestly vocation. The boys, all Catholic boys, should give thought to the priesthood. No, they may not have the vocation. Our fathers had priestly vocations, and in the Latin Rite, we wouldn't be here. So not everybody has a priestly vocation. But those who can be priests should give serious thought, and the rest of us are to find, and the verb is find, those, and let's be honest, I've said this how often, in so many ways, people we live with one exception, know us better than we know ourselves. I hope you believe it. They see us, they watch us, they hear us. They see the wrinkle in our face, the smile. And let me tell you this,